All right, so as we have talked about, this is meant to be a interactive type environment, right? So this is one where we want to have discussion, we want to have dialogue, and we want to talk this through. Because I'll frankly say that when we, a lot of different terms can get tossed out there, but when we have worked with churches in the area of mentoring or discipleship or just encouraging others, this idea and this concept about sustainability, how do we make it into something that lasts and perpetuates, where you're not dealing with things like burnout, where you're not dealing with where it goes on and on and on. How do we do that? Right, that is the question that keeps coming up and about. And so what we would like to do is have a discussion, learn from each other, right? We are not standing up here as having all of the answers, right? But learn from each other and just think about what that would take to be able to go back to our local churches and to encourage a culture that is sustainable here. So Katie and I will kind of bounce back and forth, and you're next, right?
Correct. Before we start talking about sustainability, or as you start ruminating on it, what's the word mean, right? What does sustainable mean? So definition up there, the ability to be sustained, supported, upheld, or confirmed is what dictionary.com gave me. Supported, sustained, upheld, or confirmed. If I think about that from a physiology standpoint, right? Water, food. In order to sustain myself, to continue to be supported, I have to put certain things in. I have to continue it. I have to continually drink water. I have to continually nourish my body to be sustained, supported, upheld, or confirmed. It's an ongoing process, right? I just don't drink water today, April 17, 2021. Done. Right? I'm supported. I have to do it again tomorrow. It's a continuation to be supported, upheld, or confirmed. If I think about, and here's where we want you to start sharing out, some words or phrases of what a healthy, sustainable discipleship culture looks like, what comes to your minds? Trent?
Prayer.
Great one.
What else? What'd you say? Seen as important.
Yeah.
Prioritized, maybe. Seen as important.
Good. Yep. I like that.
Multi-generational. Good. Yeah. Shared. Yeah. Shared responsibility. Good.
Delegated a little bit.
Yeah.
In a way.
Mm-hmm. What are you going to say? Teamwork. Okay. Teamwork.
I like that.
Kathy, you had something. So time is made for it, right? So people find ways to make time for it. Don't know if I'm going too fast. What else?
To be from the heart.
Okay.
It has to be something that's felt, not just.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, from the heart.
I like that, heartfelt.
And you're going to highlight on something that I think we're going to talk about often, and hopefully you've probably already seen that already. There's always going to be a little bit of this tension, right, as we talk through this tension between, like, the idea of a formality or something, like a program. You'll hear that term sometimes out there. And then that heartfelt, natural piece of it, right? And that's, I mean, 7 years of doing this, dozens of presentations, that's always out there, right? I think it's just important just to call that out, that there's always going to be a little bit of that tension, and it's important, and we'll get into that further. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself.
Prayer, prioritized, multi-generational, time is made for it, heartfelt, shared, delegation, teamwork. What else is out there?
Consistent. So somehow that the discipler is encouraged, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Key.
Mm-hmm. Good. What else? So somehow knowing, like, when you're not healthy, right? Have a recognition of a willingness to know that when we are not in a healthy spot, right? We need to be recharged. So journeying, doing life together, yeah, is part of it. Mm-hmm. Any other last thoughts here on this?
Healthy discipleship. What does that look like? Any other thoughts? Joy. If you had to choose, you know, Church A offers this, Church B, Church C. How many of you would choose to be part of this church right here, of all of this? Mm-hmm. I would.
Yeah, right.
Doesn't that look pretty great? Right? The choice, the heartfelt, the multi-generation, this is a pretty good list of discipleship culture here. Right? Our vision statement, our purpose that our ACCA leadership just came out with speaks to this, right? The body of believers bound together by our love for Jesus Christ, to love as Jesus loves. That's this. Mm-hmm. That's this right here, okay? Those are the great pieces. I'm guessing most of you signed up for this, not necessarily thinking about these great pieces. Okay? Or forgetting about these great pieces. Wherever your church is in this, whether it's new, you're in the middle, you're starting off something, you want to start something, you're 7 years in, right? Sometimes we forget what Scripture speaks to us and pulls out at us as why we do this. Mm-hmm. Fred's talk was fascinating for that. Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing, hundreds of years later, how those pieces, whether he gave his opinion or not, still relate to our hearts today. Okay, something to think about. Supported, upheld, sustained, confirmed. Those are powerful.
Has anybody ever seen this picture before? Anybody ever been here? Anybody know where this picture was taken? Katie's going to talk about it, but I'm just curious.
Okay. Guesses. Somebody guess. Boom! That's amazing! Good for you. Okay. Did you take this exact same picture? No, I'm kidding. Okay. So what is beautiful about this, if you've been to Bryce Canyon, Bryce National Park, okay, is you kind of, similar to Grand Canyon, right? It's a canyon. So you hike down, and then amidst this quite drastic drop, identifying a canyon, you see life. You see growth, you know, not just a little shrubbery, something hanging on, like growth. The ability to be sustained, supported, and upheld is unbelievable.
And it's the only green thing around, right? I mean, if you remember, it's a dry, rocky, dusty
There's
thing.
These great big, they're called hoodoos in Bryce National Canyon, right? There's these huge, like, formations that just pop up, and that's what makes Bryce so unique compared to, like, Grand Canyon, Zion, that type of thing. And it's stark, right? There's green amongst red, oranges, yellows. It's an unbelievable sight. So you see something living, sustained, upheld, supported, and you think about, you can go to the next slide, in unfavorable conditions, how does this happen? In unfavorable conditions, this trees, a pine variety, my husband declares, continues to live, support. There was a few others.
Was there three? I think there's two, maybe three. I forget.
But not many.
The kids and I were down there. Katie was actually up on top, so she never even saw this.
We didn't take our 12-month-old down there. I mean, what was
the
I
other
thinking?
Two and I hiked down there, and we got drawn in by the sight. But yeah, in the midst of extremely unfavorable conditions, right? These should not be there. You should not. This is the last thing you expected to see when you hiked through this place. And I think if you think about it and just make that extension, right? All of these things we talk about, and a lot of the stuff we talk about with discipleship and that kind of thing is so countercultural, right? It is a countercultural and becoming more so, right? This idea of dependence versus independence, this idea of community versus doing it our own way, this idea of accountability versus, you know, freedom. These things, there's a lot of unsustainable conditions out there in the society, the world that we find ourselves in. How do we create, this to me is the question at hand, how do we create a sustainable culture in the midst of these unfavorable conditions? So let's identify them, right? So let's just talk through some of those.
What are some unfavorable conditions?
Again, share out. What are unfavorable conditions? I probably just shared a couple already, but you can say them again. What?
Say that again.
Yeah, you believe it your way and you're fine.
So
and I'll believe it my
discerning
way.
Truth, is that what I'm hearing?
So the relativism, yeah, relativism, relativistic truth. Mm-hmm. Good. What else? Independence is a huge one. Yeah, expound on that a little bit, Kathy. What's cancel culture to you?
It's just like when people speak truth.
They get shut down, right? Yeah, I mean they're shut out, right? I mean, or I think you can even extend it and say that our natural reaction is when there's something against us, and it's all kinds, right? It is the Christian side, but just about anybody, right? The natural reaction is to cancel them out, right? Remove them from that. Busyness, good.
These are a little bit more from maybe discipled. So James brings up the first one from to decree like us here, right?
Right. Why we don't do it, you mean?
Why we don't do it, or what's an unfavorable condition for a discipler.
Yep.
So busyness.
No, that's exactly
Thank you.
Right.
Exactly.
Busyness,
that's
right. What else?
Fear.
Fear.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Independent spirit or independent thought. Yeah. What else? Distractions. Mm-hmm. Okay. This idea that we posture ourselves as having it all figured out, or we aren't able to engage until we have it all figured
right.
out. Right.
I will disciple. I will commit. I will engage when I get once I overcome that type of thing. Okay. What else? Pride.
Fears up there.
Fears up there. So we've got relativism, independence, relativism. Okay. Busyness, fear, entertainment, distractions, posturing, pride, apathy. Trent, speak to this apathy from a discipler, I'm guessing, right? Yeah, like.
Easier to not do anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do I care enough? Mm-hmm.
Or just that awkwardness of maybe you know or you can kind of sense that something's not quite right, but do you engage that person right? Or is it easier to just pray and hope everything's okay, right? You know, which is powerful, right? But, I mean, you know, just kind of stay on the outskirts. What else? Anything else?
There's a couple other main themes.
Someone else will do it? Yeah. Yeah. This idea that...
I'm going to call it the ostrich approach.
If you I just stick your head in the sand
absolutely.
And assume someone else is going to get it.
That's right, right? Mm-hmm. It's just somebody else is, you know, whether it's more gifted or that type of thing or apathetic, right? It'll pass.
In what way?
Speak to that.
Yeah, yeah. It may be harder to discern the truth in the midst of everything going on.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? Unfavorable conditions to a sustainable discipleship culture. Outside of the norm. Not valued. Great.
Thank you.
Feeling inadequate.
If I was an elementary teacher, which I'm not, I would go around and give you like a sticker or candy right there. Good job. Okay. Feeling ill-equipped, right? Goes back a little to the posturing piece. I will, you know, when I get here, when I'm 100%, then I will.
Mm-hmm. These are good. These are all good. And these are all valuable. I will say what we did, Katie and I, we kind of brainstormed, right? Things that we have heard and a lot of them are the same. So you're gonna mm-hmm. see six pop up here. Okay, when I hit the clicker, you're gonna see six pop up here. These are six things that we have seen as we've engaged with churches that can factor into this unsustainability of discipleship. And we want to just walk these through just a little bit here. Okay, these are, like I said, just six of them, and most of these fit in here.
Right,
and there's
right.
some other ideas here too. Sure. Number one thing we often hear, and we actually ask this, we've done this before, when we talk with a church, right, we'll throw that poll everywhere up there where people can type in their answer into their cell phone, right? Number one, why don't you engage in discipleship? Number one reason always comes up.
I'm too busy.
Too busy. It's number one reason, right? Which we heard, right? Feeling of being ill-equipped, right? This feeling that we don't have it all together, or we're not in the right spot, or we don't know what we are doing, right? And so we're not equipped to engage in this type of thing. Or maybe there's a little or no vision of discipleship. Speaks a little bit of this outside the norm. What is this thing, right? Even we can, I think personally, I guess we can even wrestle a little bit with the term. Well, is this discipleship, or is this mentoring, or is this encouraging, or is this helping, or what is this? What are we doing here? Or is it just pointing people to Jesus, right? And so I think just a little bit of helping with that vision is something that we hear about. Bad experiences. This is on both sides. A mentor gets stuck in a difficult situation and is not able, does not have a pleasant experience, right? They're not able to help, or they get in over their head and they don't feel like they have resources to reach out to. They, it doesn't work out.
I tried it
well.
Once, I'm done.
Right. They've
I tried
been burned,
it.
Right? They've been burned. Or on the other side, the mentee or the person who's being discipled, sometimes it doesn't click, right? The relationship doesn't click. And it's awkward, and it's hard, and they feel like they tried it once, and it's, I'm not going to try it again, right, type thing. Burnout is a big one for mentors or disciplers, right, this idea that you can be burned out with that, and then shame. We had a young tween, I think that's the term, a young, not quite teenager, right, but just about there, and in Gridley, that age starts to get paired up with mentors if they want to. They start to have some connections being made there, and we were having a conversation with her, it was her, and we were asking, so would you like this? And like, well, if I do this, though, won't people think I have a problem? Doesn't that mean that I have a problem? Right? And it isn't just tweens we've heard that from, right? It's older people, right, we've heard that from, right? This idea that do I only sign up for a discipleship type relationship if I have a problem?
Right.
Right. So shame on that end, and it can be something. Okay. So these are six, right, that we identified. And I think a lot of them, if we'd walk back through here, quite a few of these would fit into that, right? And there's some other ones too. I think there's this relativism and
discernment
the society
piece
that we find ourselves in makes it hard. It makes it hard, right? And other things. If you just on that real quick note, what day is this?
Saturday? April 17th.
Thursday, yes, I'm sorry. So 2 days ago, Fred and we were at our ISU Bible study and just did a talk a little bit into that very issue of the relativistic culture we find ourselves in. And I encourage you, it's on AC Central. It speaks to that. But for the here and now, what I'd like to do is here's some thoughts for these six. Okay, here's some, what are some supports to a sustainable discipleship culture? And we have a few thoughts, and we want to share out. We want this to be
shared. We actually want you to teach first. So, mm-hmm. In your mind, if somebody comes up to you in your church community and says, "I'm just too busy," I'm glad you're doing it. I'm too busy.
How do you address that?
How do you take that tree in the unfavorable condition and support it, confirm it, and sustain it? Jackie.
So tie it into our to the activities
to what we're already doing. Who mm-hmm. mentioned that already? It's obviously been mentioned. I was almost like shooting darts at Matt in the culture community. I'm like, you're taking our stuff. Stop it.
In the way. Sometimes we call that in the way.
Somebody said it already
on the
today.
Way, yeah. Type discipleship.
So in the way. Perfect. Jackie, do you mind? What's an example in your mind of in the way discipleship for you? Okay. Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. Okay, perfect. She mentioned the family ties. Could you do that to somebody in your church culture who doesn't have a family or biological tie? Absolutely. So she gave a great, and she's already offering a service, a help, and she's going to help in the way of doing that. Excellent. A conversation happens, drop off early, pick up late, that type of thing. You're making it part of it. Great example. Thank you, Kathy.
Yeah.
It's a natural match.
Conversations,
right?
During the bike ride. Right?
You already enjoy doing that physical exercise. You have a bike. They like it, right? You matched it up, and it's in the way. Perfect. Other examples of in the way.
Or of handling the too busy, right? I mean, of
or handling the too busy.
Some people are.
Sure. Probably more from the discipler.
I think we're talking about discipler at this
point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She brings up a good point, right? A no from somebody you respect in church or think would be really good at this for April 17th, 2021 doesn't mean a no April 17th, 2022, right? A young mom who maybe feels overwhelmed with what she already has on her plate won't be a young mom forever, right? Those are point in time things. Something to be aware of. So a sensitivity she brings up with the too busy. Go ahead, James.
Yeah. Don't assume.
40% of the church and yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it can look, I think even helping with just that vision of what can this look like, right? What you know, could you purpose, once we have church lunch again, right? Could you purpose to have, you know, church lunch? Just sit down and church lunch,
snack,
right? You're probably here and just have a conversation. Or do you have a commute? I mean, could you make a phone call during your commute, you know, and have a conversation while you're driving, right? It is true. Often, busy people do a lot of things, but often busy people find ways to do a lot of things. And there's ways if we prioritize it, we have time for it. Usually, right? I mean, that's a generalized statement, but often if we prioritize it, we have time for it. And so I think there is an aspect of helping expand the vision a little bit there of what can this look like.
Busy people have a way of prioritizing busy. Who's busy is more important. That becomes the preference. I think Brian spoke to it in his morning session. We have to be careful with that as a natural tendency.
There is no doubt, though, that the choices of things to do has expanded, right?
Correct.
I mean, and is continuing to expand. And there are many, many good things. And Jesus said it himself, right? What did Jesus say? He said, the poor you'll have with me always. There will always be poor. There will always be things
need
to attend to, right? But we have to prayerfully discern in the midst of that. Yeah, Javon.
Yeah.
Come make cookies with me, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it depends, too. I think there's another nuance of this here, which is important to bring out, too. It depends on what that relationship is going to look like. If it's an intensive type situation, that's a different story, right? And there is situations where, like, I can handle cookie making. I can't handle weekly intensives right now, right? And I think being understanding the boundaries and that's all part of it. Yeah, is good. You can do whatever you want to do, but that would be a good thing. Yeah, I mean,
I recently asked
that'd be one way to do it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't leave them off the hook necessarily, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's a hard, sensitive thing. Ground. Right.
Yeah.
It depends how badly, I think when Arlen and I would look at it from a Gridley hat, it depends how badly we need their gifting and their talent. If they're specifically pointed out by a potential discipler or life experience or something like that. Hey, that's great to hear. What are you busy with? Will that change in a couple weeks? Or do you think this is like a year long? I sometimes, when they tell me that, I say a quick prayer to season my words with grace and love. But then following up with what does busy, because I know what busy looks like for me. What does it look like for you right now? And is that going to continue in the near future or so forth?
But it's a balance though too, because you don't want to begrudge or guilt somebody into it, right? That's not a healthy spot to be either, right? Well, you're a bad Christian if you don't do this type thing. That's not going to provide you with a good result too. So sometimes I think it goes back a little bit to the education side of saying, well, this is what I'm asking. Would you be willing to do this, right? Type thing.
Go ahead, Michelle, what's your question?
Yeah.
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 Sure.
Yeah.
That's a fair point.
Probing a little bit.
We want to make time for. Sure. Yeah, exactly. And they actually wrote it down on a survey. Who do you respect in church and want to get to know better? You? Are you kidding me? You just said too busy? No! That is the wrong answer.
So let's jump. Actually, let's jump. And just for the sake of time, are these individual or are these separate?
Individual. Real quick before we go on, you guys are bringing up some points that is making my mind tick. Do you think a too busy response is to a seasoned discipler or somebody who's new or both? I don't know the right
Explain
answer.
Explain that.
Hey, what do you think about forming a relationship? And they're just like, too busy. Some it could go both ways, right? A seasoned discipler is going to know when they've hit their limit. A new discipler, a new mentor,
might need that expansion of vision.
It. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
That's easy.
Yeah.
Thinking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You put it on their shoulders, their hearts, their prayers circle. Absolutely. For sure. For sure. All right.
So these are a little bit out of order. We'll come back to this with little or no vision. I'd like to jump there, but I can't change the PowerPoint on the fly. So let's talk about ill-equipped and then come back to that. Okay. So ill-equipped. So someone feels like they are not equipped to do it, or they don't feel like they are ready to engage in that. How do we address that? How do we talk about that? How do we consider that? What are supports to turn that into a sustainable culture? Right. Great point, Javon. Yeah, so helping them vision cast of like, well, what do you think I'm asking you to do? Well, let's talk through what am I asking you to do, right? I'm asking you to journey through life with someone and point them to Jesus at a base level, right? Okay. Hopefully I'm journeying through life and pointing Jesus myself, so I'm asking him to do it with somebody. So helping break that down a little bit can be really important. What
Joel,
else?
What are you going to say?
Yeah. No time like the present to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
speaking to the disciples' fears a little bit, or disciples' hesitations.
There's a phrase that's been on my mind, which I think fits here now. It does not fit for a surgeon, but I think it fits for a discipler, with this idea that better course correction than perfection, right? So better kind of learning along with the way, right, than...
That does not fit for you, Joel, in the operating room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, right. Nick?
Brother Nick.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. 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 And that's where I want to jump in here a little bit too, because I think there is a place, and I think this is my call, at least to the church, to be talking about this and be learning about this and training and growing in this, right? There are trainings that can be done. There is resources
teachings
out
yes.
there. And it's going to take effort, right? It's going to take, but today is an example, but there's many other opportunities that you have out there to learn and to grow into that. And I think a church, whether you're a church leader or whether you're engaged in church and have an opportunity to speak into that, right? I think a church can go a long way in creating those environments for trainings and teachings.
Yeah.
Another thing that we talk about a lot, which I think is really key and has room to grow, is this idea of having champions within churches, right? Local church champions who are going to own this, right? You know who you go to, right? If you have a question about
orthopedics, right?
Yeah, there's my buddy, right? Or you know who you go to if you have a question about taxes, or if you have a question about your car, right? If your car breaks down, you know the mechanics in the back, right? That's the guy you're going to go talk to.
Should I invest money? I talk to a financial advisor in church, right?
Can we as a church say, you know what? These are people who are intentional about discipleship. They don't have all the answers, but they're thinking about it. They're plugged into it. They're a connection with an ACCFS or a Harvest Call or the other people who are spending time really engaging in that, and they can help point in the right direction. I think that's an important piece too. It's this idea, we say coordinate resources, which can mean a lot of things, but it's the idea of owning the fact that there is some training and equipping that's mm-hmm. important. And we need to start down that path.
It overlaps the ill-equipped and to the little or no vision, right? Champions are going to have vision for where relationships, where discipleship, where church culture is going, where it's at now, where we can get healthier, where we're headed in 5 years, right? A champion is going to know that. A champion is going to want that.
Yeah.
What are some other ways to create a sustainable for little or no vision culture?
Yeah. The self-perpetuating factor, I think, is so true, right? You see that in the scriptures where a discipler, right, you know, Paul was discipled by Ananias, right? And then he is discipling, you know, Timothy, right? And you have that both ways. And I think that's number one, that's a healthy check for ourselves, right? We should always, at all times in our lives, be being discipled by someone, but then we also should be discipling others, and you learn from both.
Yeah,
you learn from both sides of it, right? You know, I had a dear friend, right, who when I was in college, and not I was past college, and he was in college, and he came to faith. He was a Muslim in background, right? You know, from a totally different country. There was a foreign student, right? And to begin to sit and walk through the basics of faith with him, right? You better believe I was learning a lot, you know, from that type situation. And it was a wonderful experience for me, as hopefully I was at least steering down that direction a little bit there. So the upstream, downstream, yeah. Sometimes we call it the threefold relationships at all times in your life, right? You have a mentor, you have a peer accountability, and then you have someone you are mentoring, right? That's some conversation about that. What else? Little or no vision within the church, or just for mentoring? We've talked about kind of defining it for them, helping them understand it, think about it. Any other thoughts as from together, Joel? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, except you abide in the vine, right? You cannot bear fruit, right? And that's a great question. So it is the are we opening ourselves up to be a disciple of Jesus himself, right? And that's a great self-check there. That's a great, great point. Actually, to listen and hear what are people thinking discipleship is, what are fears, what are barriers, and then that provides an opportunity to walk back those misperceptions, probably, you know, properly as you navigate that.
Another one we speak to on this one is pulpit buy-in.
Yeah.
How important during messages and so forth, how does that look for your local churches to have leaders speak into something like this?
A vision guru guy that I like and I listened to and read before, he talks about when you have a vision of anything, right, any organization, it says you are to be dripping out that vision. That's how you turn it into a culture, is you drip it out, right? So are we, every time we have an opportunity, whoever, you know, has an opportunity, right, to drip out this vision of discipleship, this vision of interconnected relationships pointing towards Jesus. We need to be intentional in that. And that, I will say, from my pulpit experience, is easy to say and hard to do. Right? Yeah. I mean,
we're not saying go home and tell your pulpit out. This is what you should preach on.
Right.
Okay, please don't misunderstand us. But I think, how can I encourage? You know, I hear a message from Brother Harvey, and I can go up and encourage him, thank him for his message. Wow, that just spoke to discipleship. I appreciate that. I've been learning about, you know, you can encourage through what you're hearing and so forth, whether it's a topical study on discipleship. There's pieces and ways to pray through that and to encourage that.
But
have leadership buy-in is a piece of
encourage that conversation.
Absolutely.
So next one, bad experiences. We talked about this on both perspectives, right? From the discipler and from the discipled, bad experiences. Now, we put down communicated expectations. And that can mean a lot of things. Let me just share a couple things that means when I think of that, right? So communicated expectations means, number one, and we talked about this already, what is the expectation of this type of relationship, right? What does success look like, right? And you can paint too high of a vision, right, or too high of a thing, and then people get discouraged because, oh, they didn't open up to me after the fourth time we got together, right? You know, and it's just, this is just not working, and do they think I'm a loser type thing? It can speak to a lot of fears, right? It can really get at us. So I think understanding the idea, someone said it, right, of just, I've got a 16-year-old that just wants to have a conversation here and there. That's discipleship in some way, shape, or form, right? That's relationship building. That's so key. But I think also another aspect of this is that tension between formal and informal, right? Have enough formality, I think, within what we've seen to be successful is to have enough formality within a church so that when people get in over their head, they know who to reach out to for help. And they know that they aren't stuck. It's like having their lifeline, right? Who is my lifeline? Where do I go if I need help, right, in this? And that can be, possibly, it could be a call into ACCFS and getting that. That's one aspect. It can also just be people within the church that are the support, you know, that says. And sometimes I think, actually, sometimes it's, you know, maybe it's a two-person discipleship type thing. Maybe it's never, maybe it's just one and one. I mean, sometimes there's more than one person that needs to be involved in this because of the intensity or whatnot. And I think the last thing I'll say here is also, I think, an expectation that's important is just the reality that, so that's, I'm leaning more on the formal side. So let's say you're kind of paired up with someone, right? Or you're kind of asked to help with someone. We don't all get along with everybody or click with everybody. Right? Some of us don't click with other people. But they do click with somebody else, right? We're all just a little bit different, and we're wired just a little bit different, and that's okay. So again, have a way to, you know, some type of coordination to the effort that if something's not working, there's a way to gracefully kind of move on from that. So that's my quick thoughts. Other ideas. I'd love some other ideas here on this one. Yeah. Yeah. We have to always be learning from those bad experiences. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great.
If it's someone with a fairly high need and their level of confidentiality was broken,
that's a big deal.
That's a huge deal. And that then should be carried over to future considerations for that discipler, if the discipler is the one that broke the confidentiality, and just learning from that. But it's going to take a while. You're not going to instantly just, oh, next matchup, here we go, right?
That is a killer, yeah.
Confidentiality is
breaking
huge.
Confidentiality is a killer of relationships.
So just setting that expectation up front and knowing that from both parties is super, super key. Girls, I'm going to speak to you specifically on that in here. We're pretty good. Guys care about it. Girls, man, we really like to know. We really like to know. And we can coax it in a lot of different ways, in words and prayer, you name it. We're good at that, okay? Just sister, girl, females, whatever. Even if you overhear a guy, it's not your story to tell. It's not, okay? Right? Transfer that to your daughter, your son, your family member. You would, you know, secure and protect that with your life. Treat it as such. Okay? James.
Yep.
And you know, yep. A lot of us come from smaller communities within our national denomination, within our ACCA, and coffee shops and walking paths and so forth and so on. Just say a private prayer in your heart and move on. You don't have to follow up. You don't have to know why that sister's crying in church. You don't have to, you don't need to know, right? Brothers and sisters. And so thank you, James, for speaking on that in wisdom. That's key. That's key. Javon?
Yeah. I think that's exactly right. I think there is
you're
an
talking
education
about two different
piece
levels
and a
there,
visioning
right?
piece there.
Yeah.
I'm saying, yeah, and we're going to run out of time here, so let me jump through these two and just bring in some more things here. So let me jump to shame, because I think it speaks to that a little bit. Shame that keeps us from help, right? Shame that keeps us in hiding, like we heard from this morning on through this. I think part of it is respecting and modeling the vulnerability. So what you just laid out there, Javon, a little bit was modeling vulnerability to say, it's okay if I wasn't chosen for the team. I'm okay because my identity, my worth is in Christ, right? And it's a big world out there and there's a lot of opportunity and I'm okay being like that. And I think we have to be willing to have that, and I think we have to somewhat normalize the expectation of discipleship to be part of the fabric of the church. Mm-hmm. And so, that's going to happen in a lot of ways, but I think the more we can drip that vision out, the more some of those barriers go down just a little bit on the other
so
side.
So in this tween example, we had the opportunity to speak to this young girl and say, no, actually, I actually have a mentor too. And it's not because I have a problem.
Yeah.
Some days, right? No, I confidently. It's not because I have a problem.
I kept my mouth shut on that one. I didn't say anything.
Thank you. It's not because I have a problem. I've looked to her for help when I'm telling myself a lie, for biblical discernment, for general things. A mentor can be a great, great additional help. besides a mom and a dad, a grandma and grandpa, you get the idea, right? Yeah. So just to, boom, vulnerable.
I think the other aspect with this too is just that respect for that shame, and just to empathize that it's not easy to reach out for help. And if someone is vulnerable enough to reach out for help or to be open to receiving help, we need to treat that precious, right? We need to treat that as we are being handed something very precious, and we want to respect that.
Go ahead. Burnout. Can I go to burnout real quick?
Yeah.
Encourage supports for burnout. That definitely came up. And if you talk to anybody who's programmatic or non-programmatic, burnout's going to be high, okay? Whether they've been burned, whether they're just tired, they've been in an intense battle with someone. Keep in mind, too, somebody who's a high discipler, great regards, lots of love, training, heart for it. Jackie mentioned that at the very beginning. If it's a high intense case, relationship, heart issue, addiction, sexuality, you name it, whatever high intense case means in your mind and heart and life situation, that intense discipler should probably just have that relationship, okay? Don't
protect them a little bit.
Protect them. Mm-hmm. Allow, you know, them to, obviously they're going to choose their own other relationships and so forth, but if I think of our own local congregation, somebody right now who's in a very, very high needs case, we protect her like crazy right now because it is continual. She's a chronic, tons of life trauma coming in, and that's the one heart she gets.
Yeah.
She's intensely, because I don't want her to burn out.
Let me share one closing, and then we'll give you a little bit of a break before we get to the panel. This is a scripture you know well, and it's an interesting scripture. And just one point to encourage you as we think about discipleship. I think Fred said, I forget who said it, but I think, Joel, you said it. Are you a disciple of Jesus, right? Are you a disciple of Jesus? Now here, right after Christ, right before he rose again, right in Acts 1, he's passing on the commission to the church, right, to the disciples. And he says, they're asking, well, when is the kingdom coming, right? Is now the time for the kingdom, right? Is the culture going to be changed now by the church? And he says this, right? He says, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons, right? But you'll receive power, and you'll be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem, and then he extends it out there, right? Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world, right? This idea of the widening influence, but it starts with us being a disciple of Jesus, right? Personal discipleship. Living out the culture that we want to perpetuate in the church as a whole. And sometimes I think there's that in-between step of some type of initiatives, right? The conversation needs to be raised. It needs to be part of the fabric. We need to be having conversations, encouraging people that way, and so on and so forth. And then eventually that gets into the church culture where it is self-sustaining, right? It is a sustainable type culture.
But it starts with each and every one of us.
But it starts as we live out that culture ourselves. And so an encouragement, you know, as we leave today, to let's learn to be sustained disciples ourselves, and then let the Spirit do his work and continue to expand that further and further. Thanks for the thoughts. Yeah. I feel like we left half things unsaid, so I apologize that we're out of time.
We appreciate the
really
feedback.
Appreciate the dialogue.
Thanks for being willing.
And input.